Okay, our next talk is entitled The Effects of Sod Planting Method and Cultural Practices for Sports Turf. Presenting is Josh Anderson.
Thank you, Dr. Soldat, for the introduction. And thanks for showing up this morning to hear this presentation. I am Joshua Anderson, and the presentation that you're about to hear is part of the master's research that I conducted at the University of Arkansas during 2010 and 2011. It's titled The Effects of Sod Planting Method and Cultural Practices for Sports Turf, and specifically we're going to talk about how this relates to the use of soil-based sod on a sand-based athletic field. So the use of sod for establishment and reestablishment has really taken off in recent decades, and this is primarily due to the instant satisfaction and playability that can be achieved. By using sod, you can have instant satisfaction and playability within a matter of hours. A good example of this is that the University of Phoenix Stadium and the Rose Bowl applied a new playing surface after their respective bowl games prior to the BCS National Championship, which was played 6 days later. However, there are some disadvantages to using sod, and one of those would be soil layering. Soil layering can be particularly problematic on sand-based root zones. Sand-based root zones are used for increased infiltration and drainage, which promote root growth. So ideally, sand-based sod would be used on a sand-based root zone. However, soil-based sod continues to be used on sand-based root zones due to a variety of factors, including budget constraints, time restrictions, proximity of the sod farms, and so on. So back in 1977, Spomer and Turgeon conducted a project that looked at how soil-based sod affects the sand-based root zone, and they showed that the use of soil-based sod decreased water infiltration and gas exchange while also increasing soil moisture in the top part of that root zone where the soil layer was. So here in the picture, we have a sand-based athletic field that was resodded in the outlined area approximately 2 years ago. This past summer, we had a small construction project where the water was shut off for about 8 to 10 days, and you can notice that the drought stress that is being shown in the area that was resodded. In this picture, it just shows the soil layer that was part of that area that was resodded. And you may notice the top of that, that they did have a fairly intensive top dressing regimen. So when we talk about managing soil-based sod on a sand-based root zone, you would like to disrupt that soil layer prior to establishment, and this can be done by alternate establishment methods. One of those would be to use sprigs. They would be preferred because there is no soil layer with sprigs, although they do have a slow establishment timeline. Washed sod could also be used. Again, you would have no soil layer to a minimal soil layer, although they are labor and time intensive and can be expensive. Therefore, pre-harvest aerified sod could provide a good possible alternative. Previous research done by Kowalowski et al. In 2008 showed that sod strength was not affected and there were no detrimental effects. Post-establishment aerification and top dressing are also used to manage soil layers. And this is just to disrupt that soil layer and create channels where you can have water flow through, good air exchange, and also root growth. So the objectives of this research, which would compare the effects of the establishment methods as well as aerification and top dressing in managing soil-based sod on sand-based root zones. And our hypothesis was that the alternative establishment methods such as pre-harvest aerified sod and washed sod would maintain the soil physical properties of the sand-based root zone and turf grass quality when compared to the standard soil-based sod. So now we'll look at some of the methods and materials. And here we have a picture of the project. This shows first we started with a native soil area, and we added wood frames to create a sand cap system alongside the native soil system. Next, we added the establishment methods, which were sprigs, wash sod, and soil-based sod, as well as pre-harvest aerified sod. All of the sod was cut to a depth of 3.7 centimeters. The pre-harvest aerified sod was aerified 7 to 10 days prior to harvest. The sprigs were created with processed soil-based sod through a wood chipper, and the wash sod was made by removing the soil layer with a pressure washer. We also added aerification and non-aerification treatments. The plots were split in half with a non-aerified half and an aerified half. Aerification was done two times during the growing season with 1.25 centimeter diameter tines. Furthermore, we added top dressing treatments. The plots again were split in half with a maximum top dressing treatment of 2.5 centimeters and a minimum top dressing treatment of 0.6 centimeters applied annually. And if that's not enough, we looked at three different grass species. We have Patriot Bermuda grass, Meyer's Zoysia grass, and Kentucky bluegrass. But for the time of this presentation, we're only going to be talking about the Patriot Bermuda grass grown on the sand-based root zone. This just shows that we did actually have a nice soil layer in our soil-based sod and our pre-harvest aerified sod. So if we take a look at the experimental design, we used a four-factor split, strip, split, randomized complete block design with four replications of the whole factor. Repeated measures analysis of variance was used to determine whether the treatment interactions were significant at the 0.05 level, and Fisher's protected LSD was used to separate the treatment means. Now, we are only going to take a look at a few of the evaluations that were conducted on this research. One of those is infiltration. This was done with a double ring infiltrometer with 15 centimeter inner ring diameter and a 30 centimeter outside diameter ring. The plots were pre-saturated for 10 minutes, and one sample was taken at the end of the growing season. This was very lengthy because there were 128 total plots per species. Another evaluation that we looked at was volumetric water content, and this was done using a TDR. We used 7.5 centimeter rod lengths, and three samples were taken per plot at monthly intervals. We also looked at root mass. Three samples were taken per plot at the end of the growing season, and they were taken with a soil probe that had 2.5 centimeter diameter, and they were 12.5 centimeters long. So if we take a look at our significant ANOVA effects, we're going to basically just look at the root zone by establishment effect of the water infiltration, establishment by date, and establishment by aerification treatment of the moisture content, and also we'll look at establishment and top dressing effects of the root mass. Here we have an infiltration rate on the y-axis in centimeters per hour and how it is affected by the root zone and the establishment method. On the x-axis, you can see the establishment methods of pre-harvest aerified sod, soil-based sod, sprigs, and washed sod. If you'll take a look at only the lighter colored bars, which designate the sand-based root zone, you'll notice that the sprigs had a higher infiltration rate, which is to be expected because there was no soil layer. That was followed by the wash sod and pre-harvest aerified sod, which performed statistically the same. There we have the discontinued soil layer by the use of washing the soil layer off or by core aerifying the soil layer. And then lastly, you can see that the soil-based sod did have the slowest infiltration rate, where you just had a uniform soil layer across the root zone there. Next, we'll take a look at some moisture content data. This shows the volumetric water content on the y-axis, and it's measured in a percent, and how that was affected by establishment method over time. You may notice that the volumetric water content was increased during the summer months, and this was just to maintain the Kentucky bluegrass, but the overall trend does remain the same. You'll notice that the pre-harvest aerified sod, which is the blue line, and the soil-based sod, which is the black line, were statistically higher than both the sprigs and the washed sod. Again, they had the soil layer. Next, you can see the washed sod, which is the red line, was statistically lower than the pre-harvest aerified and the soil-based sod, although it was higher than the sprigs. And then the sprigs had the lowest volumetric water content. The next graph just shows the volumetric water content, again, in percentage on the y-axis, and how it is affected by the aerification and establishment method. You'll notice that the aerified plots are designated by the darker bars, and the non-aerified plots were designated with the lighter colored bars. You can see that aerification did lower the volumetric water content, although only significantly in the standard soil-based sod, which was not disrupted with aerification or top dressing. Washing the soil layer off. Now we'll take a look at some root mass data. Here we have root mass, and it is on the y-axis, and it is in milligrams per cubic centimeter of soil. And the only difference that we've seen here was that the sprigs, again, where there was no soil layer, does have a higher root mass, significantly higher than all of the other establishment methods. And finally, we have one more root mass graph. Again, root mass is on the y-axis in milligrams per cubic centimeter of soil. This time, we're looking at top dressing. And you'll notice that the maximum top dressing rate of 2.5 centimeters per year did produce more root mass than the minimum top dressing rate, which was 0.6 centimeters per year. So in conclusion, based on the differences in infiltration rate, moisture content, and root mass, obviously sprigs would be the best option because there's no soil layer, but due to the instant satisfaction and playability that we need, sod is often used, and if you're going to use soil-based sod, it would be preferred, or it should be considered, that you should use pre-harvest aerified or washed sod. Also, aerification and top dressing was shown to improve certain soil physical properties such as moisture content and root mass. And with that, I would like to thank the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture, the University of Arkansas Intercollegiate Athletics for funding the assistantship, as well as the Arkansas Turfgrass Association and the GCSAA of Arkansas for monetary donations for construction. With that, I will answer any questions. Yes?
How far in advance was it aerified prior to harvest?
7 to 10 days.
So yes? Often when they use sod, they have very thick cut sod because they have to get back and cut it right away. Because you wouldn't have time to get the sprigs established.
Yes. Well, throughout the data, we showed that the use of pre-harvest aerified sod or you wouldn't use washed sod because they need a thick soil layer. But if you can come in and pre-harvest aerify the sod prior to establishment, you can still maintain your root zone physical properties.
Did you put wear on it right away, though?
No, wear had nothing to do with this project. Yes? We looked at past research. There was some varying rates. We went with, for the Bermuda grass, we went with 500 bushels per acre. I'm not sure on the metric system what that would be, but.
Okay.